Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, I am pretty sure that everyone has at least one. Maybe you've got a few of them. And the only time they come out is around Christmas. No, I'm not talking about those ugly Christmas sweaters. I'm talking about your favorite Christmas movies. How many of you have watched at least one of them already? Part of the reason we like them is because they're always the same, right? You watch them year after year, and even when time passes, the characters never age and the story never changes. Charlie Brown always gets that scrawny little tree. Clarence always gets his wings. Ralphie always gets that Red Ryder BB gun. These movies make you feel good because they're so familiar. And there's something really comforting in that. I mean, with the year that we've had, we want comfort and familiar things. We've been dealing with a lot of change, and so it's nice to go back and watch those movies that don't change. In a way, I think a lot of people see the story of Jesus' birth that way too. Even if they don't know much about the Bible, they at least know that they'll hear this story from Luke 2 this time of year. And it's always the same. Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem. Mary gives birth and lays Jesus in the manger. The angels appear, the shepherds show up, and they all live happily ever after. The story never changes. And there is something really comforting in that. But you know, the Christmas story is much more than just a familiar tale. This is not the churchy version of a Christmas movie. No, this is about how God is at work in our lives now. That's because Mary and Joseph were not unchanging characters who never aged. No, they were like us. They knew what it was like to be stressed out and overwhelmed. They knew what it was like to deal with a whole bunch of change all at once. They knew what it was like to want comfort and familiar things. All right, for example, think about Mary. She was a teenager from Nazareth. She had just come of age to get married. And her parents arranged for her to marry a guy named Joseph. In other words, she had no say in the matter. She didn't go out on dates with Joseph. They never went out to the movies or out to dinner. This marriage was something happening to her, whether she wanted it or not. Then, of course, an angel visits her and tells her that she's going to be pregnant. Well, even though Mary is young, she's not naive. She knows where babies come from, and so she questions the angel. And the angel said, "This will be God's doing." So that means Mary has no say in this either. The angel gives her a little reassurance by telling her that God is at work in her cousin Elizabeth's life too. But still, Mary is pregnant and it was not by her choice. Next, the emperor decrees that the entire world should be registered. Everyone has to go to the city of their ancestors and be counted and taxed. Well, this is yet another thing Mary has no control over. She and Joseph just have to drop what they're doing and go. Their daily lives come to a sudden stop. Not only that, but Mary has to travel while pregnant, which was even more of a challenge back then. So Mary's life is definitely out of control. She is being forced to marry a guy she probably doesn't know very well yet. She's become pregnant and not by her own choosing. And she has to go on a long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. She has no say over any of this. And that's a lot of change to be dumped on her at once. So I bet that she was overwhelmed and confused and stressed out. She probably wanted something familiar and unchanging to hold on to, like a favorite Christmas movie. But she didn't have it. The same thing was true for Joseph. Right? His life was a mess too. Consider how he felt when he found out Mary was pregnant. Here he was, trying to enter into this marriage with her, trying to plan their future together, and then she goes off and gets pregnant. Although the Gospel of Matthew says that he, quote, planned to dismiss her quietly, that's a very tame translation. He probably felt betrayed and angry. Right? How could she do this to him? Even though she claimed this angel told her, could he really believe that? This is not how his future wife was supposed to be treating him. Right? Their relationship was not off to a good start here. Second, like Mary, Joseph had to drop what he was doing and travel for the census too. And it's never fun when your plans come to a grinding halt because some outside force gets in the way. But there was nothing he could do about it. It was affecting everyone, including him. And there were probably a lot of people complaining about the census. Right? Just imagine what social media posts would have looked like back then. But whether or not Joseph agreed with the powers that be in their decisions or not, he had to go. Plus, he had to take pregnant Mary along with him. Now, traveling all by itself is difficult, but traveling with a pregnant wife is extra stressful. And of course, when they reached Bethlehem, it was time for the baby to be born. But there was no room available. So imagine Joseph here. He's trying to take care of his pregnant wife, but he can't even find a place for her to give birth. They ended up in a spot reserved for animals. And Mary gave birth as if she were one of them. It wasn't the ideal place, but it had to do. So Joseph was probably feeling like a total failure as a husband and a father. This was a lot to deal with. This was not the way he thought life was supposed to go. So this means that both Mary and Joseph's lives were a mess. Their lives were not that picture-perfect image that we see on Christmas cards. Instead, both of them were trying to deal with things that were way beyond their control. They were craving some sense of normalcy and stability. But life was never going to go back to how it was before. They were stressed out and tired and frustrated. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And that's the point. This is not some Hollywood set for a Christmas movie with fake snow in the background. No, this is the world of Mary and Joseph. And this is our world. And this is the world into which God comes. God came to Mary and Joseph in that baby. And on the one hand, here's another complication to their lives, because having a baby changes everything. But on the other hand, he was no ordinary baby. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. And he changed everything in a wonderful way. God was not born to a king or a prince in some castle with perfect lives where everything's controlled and organized. No, God came to an overwhelmed woman and a terrified man in a forgotten corner of the world. God came to them to say, I am with you. And God has come to us. God has come to you and says, I am with you. In the midst of this year that you've had, when your world is going crazy, when things are not going the way you'd like, remember, I am right here with you. I have come into your world, and I give you hope and new life. Well, of course, Mary and Joseph's problems didn't magically disappear just because Jesus was born. And in fact, that added an extra stress trying to raise the Son of God, as if parenting weren't hard enough already. And the fact that we're celebrating Christmas today is not going to make all of our problems go away either. But the promise for Mary and Joseph is still true for you. The God who created the universe, the one who created you, the one who loves you like crazy, this God has come to you in your messy life. In fact, God is as close to you as a baby in your arms, or as close to you as bread and wine in your stomach. After Mary gave birth, the shepherds arrived and told her the wonderful news that the angels had said. And when they left, Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. In the midst of all of her stress, Mary treasures the promise of good news because she was told that it was good news for her. On this day, that promise is good news for you too. Stress and problems and worries do not have the final word. Instead, Jesus is born for you. He conquers sin and death and evil, which means he is certainly stronger than any problems you're facing. So treasure that promise in your heart. Take comfort in that, because it is something that never changes. And like the shepherds did when they left that day, we now tell the world this good news too. Over the hills and everywhere. Because this promise is something everyone needs to hear, especially now. Jesus is with us. New life has come, and hope is born anew. That is good news of great joy indeed. Merry Christmas. In the name of the one who is God with us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.